Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for August 24th, 2018. It's Friday. It's Friday of Rivalry Week. Big games coming up this weekend. Yes, San Jose and Vancouver is not a rivalry game, but the rest are rivalry games. How you doing, Dwayne?
A good NASL regional name derby. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, rivalry week.
Yeah, exactly. We're not paid to say it's Heineken rivalry week, so it's just derby week. It's rivalry week. And there was a few games this week as well. On Wednesday, the Hudson River Derby, the derby between the blue and red of New York. And yes, it was 1-1. And last night, Chicago, Columbus, 1-1. Houston, Dallas, the Texas rivalry until Austin comes in to be terrible with a terrible logo. Next year, 1-1 as well. So 1-1 this week so far.
If you're a betting man, go play the 1-1 in the rest of the games. I guess you would have did pretty well yesterday. Yeah, not much to say in those games in the midway. I mean, I think that really, you know, someone said that the winner of the New York Derby or the Hudson River Derby was Atlanta, basically. New York is still basically is either purple or indifferent, depending on how you want to put it. But
New York is blue. New York is red. New York don't care.
Did you see the TIFO? They have got the name of the team wrong in the TIFO. They did want a Red Bull gives you wings, implying that they kill teams because of their rebranding, and the German team, they actually got the wrong team. But at any rate, actually Montreal did that TIFO earlier too, so they plagiarized incorrectly. So yeah, that's fun. But
at least Montreal did it right, and they had the actual logos of the team in the right year and everything. But yeah, you're right. But let's talk about the important games coming up tonight and tomorrow. The the Florida-Georgia derby, I guess. Orlando-Atlanta. I don't know how this is a derby, but so far Atlanta is really dominating that quote-unquote rivalry.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's called the Y'all Derby or something like that, or Derby, they'd say, the Y'all Derby. Anyway, I know, Orlando's at the point where they need all the points they can get. I think Atlanta will quite enjoy putting the foot to their throat. I was looking at the betting markets, not that that's the be-all, end-all, but Atlanta's a heavy favorite, and it's rare to see a heavy favorite on the road. That tells you all you need to know about the direction of these two clubs here. And we've talked to death about Orlando, so yeah, that's a fun one, though, and that rivalry, it seems contrived to me, but they seem to generally dislike each other, so good for them.
Another game tonight on Friday at 10:30 p.m. And this one is actually a rivalry. This one's it does feel like a big rivalry, and the games hasn't disappointed this year so far. Two games between the two, and two high-scoring games, very dramatic fashion. LA Galaxy versus LAFC at StubHub Center.
Does that have a name yet?
El Trafico, or the Clásico with the L and the A being capitalized, I guess. But yeah, El Trafico, because you have to leave like now to make sure you're there by kickoff time.
Yeah, yes, I was actually doing some writing on congestion time yesterday. LA residents spend 102 hours a year in traffic, so that sounds fun. But
that's like two full weeks of work. That's insane.
Just sitting in your car. Awesome. Anyway.
No wonder radio and satellite radio is still very popular in the LA region, because people are in their car waiting a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to get an app so you can deliver food to the to people in their car when they're in traffic jam in LA. I think you'd probably make millions of that. But at any rate, no, look, yeah, what's good about this rivalry, too, is that contrast to the other one, it's legitimate that these two teams are battling for positions directly. So that's going to be fun. If you're going to watch one game this week, maybe that's the one to watch, probably. I mean, I say that betraying my own roots here. But
But tomorrow there's quite an important game, too, and we'll get there in a second. It's not Philly, New England. That one doesn't really feel like a rivalry, even though they're close geographically speaking. In past years, it wasn't really a rivalry. But if you look at New England, where they're located in the standings, and where Philly is, New England with the win, it's not just, it's a famous 3-point game, right? Where New England would get 3 points and Philly would not get 3 points. So add those two together, you get the 6 points expression. But New England could maybe get back into the back with a quote unquote into the playoff race. But if Philly wins, they put the pressure on Montreal to make sure they continue to win. And it gives DC a chance. DC, big week last week. 3 games, 3 wins, 9 points. Now back into the conversation. We talked about it last week where if DC was winning those game in hands, they had a legitimate shot of making the playoff, and one team out of Philly or Montreal was going to be in difficulty. Philly, Montreal went and continued to put the pressure on the team's bottom of that red line. But Philly, New England at 7 tomorrow.
I mean, all you can do is win, right? I mean, this is the sort of dilemma you get into when you're chasing, and TFC fans know this all too well, both from their past history and their current existence, is that who do you cheer for in that game? You draw, I guess. And that gets a little dodgy, but and even then, you know, both teams are getting points. But you just got to win the games in front, and you're right. I mean, it's not really a rivalry in any real way, but it is an important game in terms of the standings. New England, they can't afford to fall back, I would think. And as you say, DC's charging, and yeah, that's a big one for sure. Not the most glamorous matchup, but no. In terms of the playoff, it's important.
And Philly's been doing better lately. They have a decent year, and if they can get that result at home, it could spell the end of the end of hope for New England. The game we're looking forward to, the 401 Derby, Le Classique, call it whatever you like, Toronto FC, the Two Solitudes Derby versus Montreal Impact at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Do or die for Toronto. Montreal, the only team to beat Toronto FC at home in 2017 in this exact matchup, in that exact position in the calendar last year. Can they do it again? And if so, give them a better shot of making the playoffs and maybe spell the end of hope as well for Toronto.
I think it would, in most people's minds, spell the end of hope for Toronto if they fail to win this. I mean, look, math is math, and if Toronto were to win the next 9, then yeah, they'd be fine. But psychologically speaking, if they were to lose this game at home, a lot of people would be ready to just give up on the season and start talking about rotating so that they're set up for the CCL in, you know, next February. But you know, I said the other day that this is probably the biggest rival, the biggest derby, the biggest Highway 20 derby, let's go with that one, in a while. So you know, it should be fun out there. Josie Altidore missing. TFC is not very happy about that. Think that it was a bit of a harsh penalty for what he did, but it was a deliberate kick. So, you know, if you don't want those things, don't do them, is what I would say back to that. It makes a major difference.
If you can't do the dime, don't do the crime.
Yeah, I mean, and any team would call it harsh, but the reality is it is what it is, and they've got to get through it because they've been a completely different team when he's been in the lineup. We saw that against Vancouver, right? And then they follow up in the weekend without him, and they look sort of lackluster against San Jose. They look like, you know, world beaters against Vancouver at midweek. So that's the Josie difference, but he's missing for another game, and they absolutely need to get 3 points in this game. Doesn't matter if it's ugly. Doesn't matter how they do it. And as you say, on the other side of it, you know, you can speak to this. Montreal, they also need points, but, you know, the double whammy of, you know, taking down Toronto plus getting 3 more points and making yourself more likely to make the playoffs is something that's got to be enticing to them. It must have been hard for the last year or so to be an Impact fan and looking at your rival do what it did while you're struggling, but here's a chance to get a little bit of a revenge. And I'm sure that we'll see some people talking about clowns in the stadium, so it should be fun. And what we won't see is true clowns in the stadium.
I was gonna go into that segue, but you beat me to it.
Yes, exactly. But
Inebriati are no more. If you are a Toronto FC supporter fan, the fan and supporters group, Inebriati has been banned as a supporters group and banned from the stadium for most majority of those members. So it'll be a little calmer in 114 in a way where people won't be intimidated anymore.
Yeah, look, you just said if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, and that applies here. And that's all I'm going to say on this. Maybe I'll have more to say if I do a Sober Second Thoughts, but other than that, you can read my Twitter feed if you want more information. That's all the talk we're going to have on that conversation today.
Sporting Kansas City, Minnesota. Not really a rivalry, but I guess you have to make teams play anyways. Doesn't matter if it's rivalry week. Sometimes there's leftover teams. And Kansas City, Minnesota. Kansas City with a win will continue their low-profile run to the top of the Western Conference and a bye for the playoff. And for me, still, yes, it is my prediction to win the Western Conference. But at least they're still alive in my prediction, which is better than the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Minnesota's luck is it's small gains there for sure. Hardly selling out, but as you know, many people pointed out, they're going to essentially have they've had a soft launch, and they'll have their full launch when they go to the stadium. Who is Minnesota's rival? Chicago, it should be, maybe. I guess it's hard to really hate Minnesota, but alas, I guess Sporting is they can technically drive that. I think I'd have to think about this for a second.
Yeah,
it's kind of isolated up there.
It's a long drive south, but still counts, I guess. They're like in the same time zone. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
We'll need Winnipeg to get a team.
Oh, geez. Can you imagine that drive? Winnipeg to Minnesota? Just, what, 8 hours or something? But yeah, it would be a long game. The Rocky Mountain Cup, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, which that means what? 7 p.m. Mountain Time? Colorado, Real Salt Lake at Colorado. Yeah, the implication for the playoffs are not as important, at least on Colorado's side. Colorado's not going to make the playoff. Well, they could if they went out, but I don't see that happening. Real Salt Lake, though, they can, with 3 points, could be in that conversation again.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really get too excited about this one. RSL's been a little disappointing, I think, this season. I had pegged them to be sort of the dark horse team, and they really have struggled to find a true rhythm all year. But that said, as you say, they're still kind of hanging around there. I don't know, the Rocky Mountain Cup, all these cups. When is MLS going to get rid of these cups? Does anyone care about them anymore? Who cares about the Rocky? Do you, if you're listening from those places, I know the Trillium Cup is a great punchline up here, but you know, it will be done at the end of this year.
It's
so
dead after this year, because I don't think you can have a Trillium Cup between Austin and Toronto.
No, anyway, I guess the Cascadia, we can, because it's fan-driven, I'll give that a pass, but the rest of them, it's a bit much. You know, there was a rivalry between Toronto and Columbus back in the late 2000s, but it's not really there anymore. It's not at all. But at any rate, moving on, Rocky Mountain Cup, fun stuff.
At least, you know, it's always fun games because you have a great backdrop. You know, you see either when it's at Colorado at Dick's Sporting Goods Stadium, you have the Rocky Mountains in the background. The same when you're at the Riot, Rio Tinto Stadium in Real Salt Lake. You do see the beautiful landscape. And I guess that kind of works. It makes for great television anyways. Or a great DAZN watching here in Canada. San Jose, Vancouver, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Vancouver on the road. If they can beat San Jose, which is possible, Vancouver will continue to hang around the playoff spot and give themselves a chance, especially when you have an outlier performer like Alfonso Davies. You never know. It's always dangerous, and you never know the true ceiling of a team like this, because when a player like Alfonso Davies decides to, not just decides to play, but when he's playing and has the influence, and we know he can on a game, Vancouver is never out of it. And it's San Jose, the tire fire of the Earthquakes, the worst team in the league this year. Vancouver could get a result on the road in San Jose. They have never won there before. There's always a first for everything, and tomorrow could be that first.
They should get a result, and I would expect that Vancouver would absolutely desperately want to get something out of that game, and if they don't, just like Toronto last point, I mean, Toronto got something out of the game, but it wasn't what they wanted, right? Anytime you go in there, this is the worst team in the league by far right now, I think. Anytime you go in there, you need the full 3 points, and you're the Whitecaps and you're trying to establish yourself as a legit contending team, then you absolutely need to get a result, get a win in San Jose. It's a, I don't know. What do they have left to watch there? The Wando watch, I almost hope he gets traded at this point, because it's kind of sad to see this career sort of winding down like this.
Super sub Wondolowski. I know. It kind of seems weird. The Dominic Odura watch. Maybe that could be interesting. But no, you're right. San Jose has got nothing left to really hang on to in 2018. They're looking at the end of the season and what potentially could be not just a roster overhaul, but a front office overhaul. We'll see. We've been calling it for weeks now, and we're still baffled by the presence of Michael Starry as the head coach of San Jose. Nothing against the man, but some decisions this year have really been questionable, at least.
No, for sure. I want to just go back on that Wando thing, too. It always strikes me as kind of odd that teams in MLS, because it is a North American-based league, don't do that sort of, I don't know, loan or rental or whatever they call it, because I could absolutely see Wando being a key contributor to a contending team in a playoff run. So why doesn't a team give up a chunk of allocation and help San Jose rebuild and take the veteran in for their playoff run? Yeah. I don't know. It seems kind of weird that it never happens, and you don't really hear people talk that way. But
because I think on the player side, Wondolowski is so ingrained in Santa Clara, San Jose, the Bay Area. His family, everything's... He's so established there. I don't think he wants to move away from it, even for the Salone period. And what's the point? What's the point at this stage of his career to just go on another team and score a few goals? I think he wants to end his career where he has always played, and it's probably going to be at the end of this year. I don't foresee Wondolowski playing another year. Not that he couldn't, but just if you look at his demeanor, if you look at the state of affair of San Jose, his salary versus the output over the last 2-3 years, if you're San Jose, you kind of have to take that hard decision to move away from Wondolowski to liberate some part of your salary cap and your designated player spot and have new blood into the team. It's really needed at a lot of position. And they're going to need to do so. So I think it's all those little details together that makes a potential trade or a loan out or whatever you want to call it, a roster move for Wondolowski, very, very difficult.
No, for sure. I'm just looking right now. How many goals is he behind? He's just five. He needs five more goals. Will he get that this year? It's going to be touch and go. So I guess that is the question. Do you bring him back specifically to try and pass Donovan's record? I don't know. And if he does pass Donovan's record, do we rename the MVP trophy? Anyway.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. New York Red Bulls, DC United on Sunday, 7 p.m. This on paper doesn't seem to be a rivalry, but it is. It's a rivalry that stems from the Metro Stars time and DC's time earlier in the history of Major League Soccer. And this is important too. Red hot DC United, one of the very few road games they have left. Can they go to Red Bull Arena and put a marker? Just a win at Red Bull Arena is a marker in itself. And if you're DC United, you're hot. You're the hottest team in Major League Soccer right now. You won all your games you played last week. 3 wins. Rooney's on fire, and for some reason, Rooney on fire has launched Lucho Acosta's career, and he is now a superstar. Can they beat the Red Bulls at home?
Yeah, well, it's not just is this a rivalry, but it's the original MLS rivalry. It's one of the few that really has organic sort of roots, you know, other than geographical ones, right? But this is maybe the most intriguing game of the weekend in many ways, in terms of DC flying and New York quietly having, you know, a contending season again. They have to be among the favorites to win MLS Cup at this point. So if DC can go in and put the marker down, as you say, not only does it continue that ride up the schedule, and they do need all the points they can get at this point, it just like any team that's below the red line, but it also makes a statement. Because I think at this point in the time, if you're charging up the standings, you have to think bigger than just getting in. You have to think what you can do when you're in there. And I think going into New York and getting a result would indicate that the DC not only has the chops to get in and get over that red line because they're on a roll, but they also have the capability of perhaps going on a deep run. And wouldn't MLS love that? An original team and Wayne Rooney, and yeah, that would excite them greatly. But it's a very important and interesting game for sure.
And the last game in Major League Soccer this weekend on Sunday, maybe the biggest rivalry in the entire league, equaled in my mind to Toronto and Montreal. Yes, 2016 Eastern Conference Final in Montreal, where the home and away game were the most intense MLS games I've ever seen live. Never been to a Cascadia Cup Derby like this one. But Portland, Seattle, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. This is going to be an important one. Can Seattle win a seventh game in a row? And if they do so against Portland at Providence Park, this is a statement as well. If Seattle can get seven in a row, they can tie a lot of club records. Will Chad Marshall score again? This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. How old is Chad Marshall now? 62. He seems like he's around that age. No, the other question everyone wants to know, of course, is what the TIFO will look like, because that's, you know, what the Cascadia derbies really are all about for local. It's always a spectacle, and obviously MLS likes to play this one up and display this one as a huge, huge big deal, and it is. It's very visually appealing. A lot of people there, very colorful, the TIFOs, all that sort of stuff. It really is the class of the rivalry games right now in terms of the visuals. Although, as you say, I think there are other rivalries out there. DC, New York, as you say, has an organic root, and Toronto, Montreal goes back, you know, basically 1,000 years. So
I was going to say it goes back at least 400, you know, nothing to do with soccer, but yeah.
Yeah, so there's lots of other rivalries out there, so they're not the only ones, but it should be fun as well. And it's important for the standings. Portland, both of these teams, Seattle's on that roll right now. They're trying to do what they've done the last 2 years, and they need to get the points too. We're in that part of the season where every game kind of matters and every point matters. It does in March too, right? Like, it's kind of a disconnect that we have in our heads that, oh, this is fine, there's lots of time in the season. Well, I think in many ways, if you look back at TFC season, those games that they were throwing points away in March to focus on the CCL really are biting them in the bum right now, right? So every game matters, but it really optically matters now even more. So this should be a fun weekend. It's an exciting weekend. I mean, I know it's rivalry week, but beyond that, any games there would be fun this week, because the rest of the ride in, it's going to be a good time. And you know, I guess I'm not a big fan of forced parity, but MLS does get exciting because it is pretty even. Yeah. And I will grant them that.
Now, just to finish the show a little quickly on the games in this weekend's Premier League schedule, the fixtures: Wolves Man City tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. So if you're Wolves, do you just send the 3 points to Manchester City, or do you have to actually play the game?
Well, they need points, so they're going to play the game. But it will be interesting to see how teams like Wolves approach games with City. Wolves do like to get on the front foot a little bit, even though they are a promoted team. And I think if you do that, you're running the risk of having five or six rolled on you. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Although that said, I think the way to beat City is to
get out of
attack.
There.
Yeah, that's how Liverpool does it. So it'll be fun to watch there. But, you know, City right now, and I'm not just saying this from my own perspective, from just any general someone with eyes perspective, is scary to anyone, the way that they the weapons they have and the way that they are performing right now.
Southampton, Leicester at 10 a.m. Arsenal, West Ham at 10 a.m. That one's going to be interesting. I've seen a lot of comments this week, and Dwayne, do you know what's the difference between a pencil and Arsenal at this point?
No, you please tell me.
Well, a pencil has a point.
Uh-huh. There you go. I mean, Arsenal's going to be okay eventually. They did, you know, nice to come back after the sort of shaky start against Chelsea and the City game. As I said, that's more about City than anything else. It's a very tough start to their schedule, yeah. But they got to start to get some points right now, and they otherwise that joke's just going to keep rolling, and people are ready to pile on to Arsenal.
Yeah.
They really are.
Emery out was a thing in their first game, so there you go. Arsenal, West Ham. West Ham not having a good start at all this year so far. Arsenal might be having their first win ever, this year, at the Emirates versus West Ham. Bournemouth, Everton. Everton on the road, probably the favorite in this one. Huddersfield, Cardiff. Battle of two teams we believe can be relegated this year. Interesting.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's not really the most riveting of matchups, unless you're a fan of either of those clubs. But
unless you're Patrick Stewart, you're really going to watch that game. Otherwise, yeah. But interesting game at 12:30 tomorrow Eastern Time. Liverpool-Brighton. We'll see the difference between Liverpool and Man United. Brighton beat Man United. Granted, it was at Brighton. But Liverpool, is probably going to roll over Brighton, and Liverpool will continue to show that it can do well. We'll see in the head-to-head matchup versus Man City, but after two full match day, Liverpool and Man City really look the class of the league so far.
Yeah, I mean, if Liverpool legitimately is to contend this year, they really need to take care of games like this. They can't afford to even take draws. This is one that they absolutely need to get the full three on. It's going to be interesting tactically how Brighton approaches it. The way that they will approach United, it was at home, albeit, but the way that they approached the United game was to attack, as I said a minute ago, and I think that that is an effective strategy against, you know, I think the small teams sometimes get too caught up in the low block. But that said, the way Liverpool can sort of slice through and attack with speed and purpose, that might be a dangerous tactic for them. So I'm not too sure how they'll approach this. But as I said, if Liverpool legitimately is to keep up with City, and the difference between City and Liverpool last year really came down to, as we said, it's Liverpool, well, they lost the first game pretty badly, but they won the reverse fixture and they beat them in the Champions League quarterfinals, obviously. So they did very well head-to-head, but the difference between the two clubs last year was that Liverpool couldn't take care of the smaller clubs as consistently as City did en route to their 100 points. So if they are going to close that 25-point gap, they need decisive results against these type of clubs.
Four games on Sunday: Watford, Crystal Palace, Fulham, Burnley. But the two games we'll keep a closer eye on is Newcastle, Chelsea on Sunday. Can Chelsea continue their good beginning of season? I say good because they got great result, but haven't looked the best doing so. And when you look at the change of manager, the change of philosophy, the way they're playing, it's kind of expected. But Chelsea on the road at St. James Park, will Chelsea beat Newcastle? That's the question. But the marquee matchup in this match day three in the Premier League is Monday at 3 p.m., the Monday night football game, Manchester United at Old Trafford versus Tottenham. That's a fascinating matchup. Even on the road, right now, I kind of fancy Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some theories this week that this actually, the United's problem this year won't be competing with the big clubs, that they're able to sort of adopt Mourinho's sort of tactics a little more readily against the bigger clubs. It'll be against clubs like Brighton, where they're just reluctant to sort of play the way Mourinho wants them to. So I have heard that theory floated out there, but you're right. And it's going to be very interesting if Spurs do get the full results, the full three in this, how much pressure there will be put on United to make a change, because already there is a lot of noise about Mourinho, a lot of noise about the need to make changes there, and, you know, Zidane's out there. That would be a place that one of the few clubs in the world you could see Zidane go to. One of the things that you could see them, the United being interested in him too. So if they were to lose this game, like, honestly, the watch is on at that point.
Yeah, and what's the best, when, you know, when you think about changing a coach or a manager, you usually go to the opposite side, right? Example, you have a tactician, very defensive, that doesn't really excel at man management, and well, that's Jose Mourinho for you. If you want to change that, bring the exact opposite, Zinedine Zidane, who man management is his forte, and yeah, this could be the solution if they ever change it.
He would be the favorite, I would think. I mean, it depends on whether he wants a job, right? Zidane would be the favorite for any opening anywhere in the world at this point. It's just whether he wants it. But United is probably one of the clubs that he would seriously consider. The France job is not coming up anytime soon.
Oh, no.
So
Didier Deschamps probably bought himself about 4 to 8 years of just being left alone with winning the World Cup earlier this year.
Yeah, so that speculation's off the table. So where else is he going to go, right? I mean, there's only about 4 or 5 clubs in the world that you'd probably consider, and United would be one. So, well, as I said, if they were to lose, the noose is getting tighter.
You don't go from Real Madrid to, like, a club below it. You go to a club that at least has the same type of name recognition, at least worldwide, and Man United is one of the few that does have a same or at least similar name recognition, brand, quote unquote, your most favorite word, that Real Madrid does.
Yeah, I mean, he can't go to Barcelona. That's off the table. But other than that, really, what are you looking at? You're looking at United. You're looking at Bayern.
LA Galaxy? No, Juve. I'm just kidding. Juve, maybe. Yeah. Well, That's the rumor too, that if, example, it doesn't go as planned for Juve in the first few weeks, which we doubt that's going to happen. It's Juve, and Juve was going to win anyways and add Ronaldo. It's not going to be an issue. But Ronaldo and Zidane did have a pretty good working relationship. So,
yeah, I mean, he as I said, that's going to be the speculation anytime a big club is in any kind of trouble whatsoever in United right now. They're still a big club by virtue of their history, but they're not a big club by virtue of how they're playing right now. So this is going to be Mourinho needs a result. But as I said a minute ago, like, I can also see United just getting the points here because Spurs is unpredictable. They're Spursy, and it is at Old Trafford, and Old Trafford still has a little bit of something to it. And maybe they're willing to play that sort of shell, and they can be difficult to break down when they're committed to playing Mourinho style. So I don't know if it's going to be a fun game to watch, but it'll be an interesting game to follow.
As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larme. We'll be back Monday with the Canadian national team talk that we were trying to do the last 2 days and didn't have time. We'll do some on Monday, and we'll review Rivalry Week and a bit of the Premier League week as well. At 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larme for me, at Soccer Today SPN for the show. Make sure you subscribe on our YouTube page or anywhere you get your podcasts to be notified when we go live and to have the podcast version of our show downloaded in your apps before you even know it. And as always, have a good weekend and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.